Typically, that happens when there's too much moisture or too cool a temperature. And that's where, say, this pop bottle cover thing, you can even...
Off the two-liter bottle there, you put it over the tomato plant.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It helps preserve the moisture. And tomatoes like it really warm, so you might want to pick a west window, perhaps. I've had good luck growing them on a cookie sheet with the cans on top of that, so they don't make a mess.
Sure, yeah.
Ruin my windowsill.
Yeah.
Those little two-liter bottle, half of them, cut them in half to make a greenhouse greenhouse effect, if you will. And they come up pretty quickly. And then after a while, you can take that off. But keeping them warm is very very important. That probably explains my natural gas bill at the nursery.
Got to keep the hothouse hot.
Yeah, so anyway, get a good loose potting soil, one that you can squeeze and it bounces back a little bit.
Yeah.
So check out your potting soil, and if you can do that, if it does, if it has some bounce back to it, if you will, then it's probably a pretty good soil to grow seeds in. The seeds themselves are not too picky as to what kind of soil you have, but you want something that's very aerobic, if you will, something that doesn't tend to compact. And look at what's in the potting soil. If you see little tiny chips of pine bark in there, that's typically what a cheap potting soil is made of. You want to avoid that because that causes a compaction, and the roots can't breathe very well.
Yeah.
So they need that a bit of air in there to keep them going too.
Yeah.
So pick a real lightweight potting soil. The pot material doesn't matter. Just make sure you can get the plant out of it. Peat pots are okay. They tend to dry out pretty quickly, though, so you want to make sure that they don't get too dry because the water just comes right out.
Evaporates.
So, exactly. So the peat pots are a good way to go, but keep them kind of on the moist level. Put them in a little ice cube tray or something. Or you can get these little kits that have a little thing already, but if you want to pay like four times more, than get one. Yeah. But anyway. So there are a lot of ways to start seeds, and I prefer the tin can on a cookie sheet method. It works
very well.
And actually, what you do when it comes time to plant them, you cut off the bottom of the can, if you do have one that has a bottom on it, and then just put it in the ground, and the can acts as a barrier to hornworms and things.
I'm hearing.
So pretty cool.
Indeed.
So anyway, time to think about vegetable gardens right now. Planting in the garden, you can plant things like lettuce and spinach, radishes in the garden right now at this point, and just prepare to lose them if it does get really cold. But anyway,
wow!
So they can be planted at this point. Also, if you haven't turned your garden over, it's a good time to do that. Also, get it ready for the spring. Keep just turn the soil, just spade it over and leave it exposed, and that makes a really good loose soil from freezing and thawing and freezing and thawing. It helps break up the clay. And makes it easier to plant your corn seeds when the time comes, and things like that, okra things. So anyway, it's a little bit of a busy time in the garden. It's time for planning. It's time for knowledge of your existing conditions, such as your soil type, your soil structure, your soil pH, all that.
You got to make sure you got everything all set to go, because a little bit of preparation goes a long way.
Exactly. Just like anything else. I mean, we spend our entire life planning for retirement, and but we don't spend a minute planning for our vegetables.
It's like, seeds, dirt, water, sun. Okay, we're good.
Whatever.
Yeah. And then we complain that our tomatoes are looking kind of measly, and our beans are skinny.
They don't have any tomatoes. What's the deal? Well, okay.
Didn't pay attention. What happened?
So anyway, just get that ground ready. And always mention every year to put some gypsum in your soil when you're going to grow your tomatoes, and some Epsom salts. That does help them a lot, too. Epsom salts does a lot for plants.
It does.
It gives you elemental sulfur and some magnesium they really need to grow.
Very good. So, I want to remind everybody, because we'll be doing this again like we did last year.
Oh?
We're going to go up to Coffeyville.
Oh, fun.
Yes. We do this. It's our fifth annual Interstate Farm and Home Show, and it's being presented by the Mighty 690 KGGF. Got to do that. And then our sister station, 104.9 KREG, that's coming up on March 26th and 27th. We'll have the things going on there at Nellis Hall at Coffeeville Community College. And we usually do the shows from up there. We have a good time up there.
That's right. We do the show up there. There's a bit of an echo on the feedback on that thing. So. That's go all the way to Bartlesville and all the way back.
Yeah, boy, I tell we have some fun. And, you know, you might even get paid to go there because we're going to give away I don't know how we got this out of Kevin's wallet. $500 cash prizes each day. No, he's a very generous man. Also, Branson tickets and a whole lot more. So we've got a lot of cash and carry items. Just want to put it out there that we've got that coming up. And, you know, we'll be hanging around and having a good time.
Yes, I went there last year. I toured all the booths last year. Mm-hmm. Some very good stuff up there.
Very nicely laid out.
They even bought some stuff, too.
So did I.
Yeah.
So he says, what's that? I said, just stuff. Well, it looks like pretty good stuff. Well, it is good stuff.
We bought some garden sculptures.
Yes.
And I look at those every day out in the back. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of cool.
Well, the neat thing about this is that even, you know, if you're looking for landscaping, if it goes in your home, if it goes around your home, or even if it goes on your farm or your ranch, it's going to be there.
Yep.
So we're going to be back in just a moment here with more of the Green Country Gardener program. And you can give us a call at 1-800-749-5936 if you would. We'll be right back after this 1 minute, 5 second timeout.
Hello, this is Tim from United Rentals. If you got a weekend project coming up, you can pick this up on Friday. You got 3 days. Get your project done without being in any type of a hurry. Bring it back on Monday morning, 1 day charge. It's a great deal at United Rentals. It doesn't put a lot of pressure on you to get the job done. You can kind of do it at your own pace, especially being homeowners. You only pay the 1 day rental. You can give us a call at United Rentals, 918-333-9580.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is home to Bartlesville's largest selection of tropical plants for your home. Green Thumb has newly arrived musical-tuned wind chimes for your front porch or just to hang in the tree. While you're at Green Thumb, be sure to check out their 5 to 7 gallon trees, now 30% off. Bromeliads are 20% off, and 4.5 inch small fiddle leaves are 30% off. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on No Water Road, home of Bartlesville's largest selection of houseplants, tropicals, and more. New winter hours are 10 to 4 Friday and Saturday, or by appointment.
January is the month to shop Roman Chevrolet Buick, your Silverado City in Independence, for military and student discounts. Check out the sharp 2021 Chevrolet Trax. MSRP is $23,850, but at Roman's, you pay $19,900. Looking for a pre-owned Silverado? Roman's has more than 20 with thousands in savings. Special discounts this month for all military, active, and retired, as well as students. Brand new or pre-owned, shop the huge selection online or stop by 2313 West Main in Independence. Romans, your Silverado City.
Paralyzed Veterans of America, National Service Officers.
We've got an entire generation of men and women who have seen war. They're going to need voices.
Paralyzed Veterans of America represents them.
Changing lives, building futures. That's Paralyzed Veterans of America. To learn more, visit pva.org. A public service message from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
This is Daryl Wooten, pastor of Spirit Church, inviting you to join us each Sunday morning from 9:30 to 10:30 for church services on K1 AM 1400 and FM 93.3. Spirit Church is a place of love, joy, and peace, and we pray you'll receive all three during each Sunday's broadcast. Tune in each Sunday on K1 AM 1400 and FM 93.3 at 9:30.
Good morning, it is 8:24. Welcome back to the Green Country Gardener program. Larry was telling me there, as we play Papa Was a Rolling Stone, that somebody rolled a stone on his hand over this past week here. And that's why he's got his hands in his pockets here.
Oh, now it hurts a little bit, but it'll go away.
Got an owie. Tell you what, though, you can give us a call with your good hand, your bad hand, or maybe sometimes you don't even need a hand these days. 1-800-749-5936. That'll get you on with the Green Country Gardener program. So we were talking about our seeds and stuff.
Seeds and stuff, right. Mm-hmm. And all kinds of interesting information. And actually, I just discovered on my telephone that I can just talk to it, and it'll just pop up stuff.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
All these Latin names.
Yeah.
And it brings up the stuff.
I'll be darned.
Enter information on it, in other words. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, the tree of the week is the, we've talked about this one before. Let's talk about my favorite trees.
What's that? These are a few of his favorite trees.
Favorite trees. And the criteria for determining a tree as being a favorite are, number one, ease of maintenance. And that is trimming and fertilizing and watering. The three things people tend to forget to do.
Yeah.
what kind
it's a tree, huh?
What do I have? Well, I don't have to do anything to it. It's not a golden retriever. It's a tree. And secondarily is pest resistance. Insects such as borers and aphids, tent caterpillars, bagworms, and stuff like that. And thirdly, on pest resistant, or secondly, rather, are animals.
Yeah, critters will start nibbling at your trees.
Squirrels, rabbits, and birds.
Oh, my.
Oh, my. Yeah. So you got to look at the ease of maintenance, pest resistance, and thirdly, and this is kind of important around here, is environmental tolerance. What kind of environmental conditions will this tree tolerate? In other words, what kind of soil does it need, and what kind of tolerance is it to different types of soil? Exposure, such as north, south, east, or west, available water.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little expensive now with way things are, probably going to be more expensive later on. how does it do well in winter weather? And how does it tolerate our summer weather?
Yeah.
And the fourth underlying criteria is desirability.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, what shape does the tree have? What kind of interest does it have? Seasonal interest. Color, for instance, flower color, leaf color, cleanliness. Is he going to drop stuff all over my yard, make a
is
mess?
Is it a litter bug tree?
Nasty old things that drop stuff everywhere. What kind of seasonal interest it has in it, and it kind of falls in with the shape and color and interest and all that too, and ease of growth. What am I going to have to do to grow this tree?
Mm-hmm.
So those are criteria that you need to think about in establishing what kind of tree you might want to. You want in your yard.
Mm-hmm.
And you put them all in there, and the one that comes out of the funnel will be the one that'll work for your place. So anyway, tree number 10 and the most desirable is a London plane tree.
There you go.
The London plane tree is a rapid grower, up to 100 feet tall, a kind of stately tree with interesting bark. It has moderate drought tolerance. It's native to lowland areas and adapts well to upland areas. It has moderate ice tolerance, which might be important here.
Yeah.
The light color leaves are related to sycamore. It's kind of like, it's like a sycamore, but it has a smaller leaf on it.
Got it.
They tend to drop stems in the wind. So a little bit of litter right there, too. It has a moderately deep root system. So if you have an area where you have a lot of erosion, say on a hill or something, you're going to get some surface roots. That probably won't be the best one for that situation. And it is susceptible to leaf anthracnose in wet spring weather.
Mm.
Ooh, anthracnose, that sounds bad. No, leaf anthracnose is nothing really serious. It doesn't go past the leaf on the plant, so it should be all right. And I like to use it, say, in the backdrop. If you have a large property or something way off in the distance somewhere, the bark on it is somewhat striking in the winter. And its lack of maintenance is pretty good, too. So anyway, that's the London plane tree, which is related to the sycamore tree, which is, I see them used in for street trees, which is rather odd because they're not the best ones for that. But anyway, number 9 is a bald cypress.
The bald cypress.
It's a tall, narrow grower, 75 to 100 feet tall, rapid grower with establishment. It's drought tolerant, but the leaves will turn brown and drop in a severe drought. The bald cypress really has no disease problems. And it really has no real insect problems, with the exception maybe of bagworms. It has good ice tolerance. However, it will develop knees in heavy, wet soil.
Mm-hmm.
Cypress knees, or those little things that come up in the swamp.
Saw those in Florida when I lived there.
Yeah, and if you do a shallow watering on the tree, or if you have a shallow clay soil, you're going to get knees. But if you have a good deep soil and you don't water it that much, the roots will tend to go deeper into the soil, and you won't have a problem with that. So. Okay. It's a good backdrop plant in difficult soils because it is very tolerant of a wide variety of soil conditions. So it's kind of a good tree to have for some cases.
Mm-hmm.
But in a small confined area, no, it's not a good idea. Just because of its tendency to dominate the landscape and shade everything out, and have some tendency for shallow roots. Okay, so that's two trees that are kind of bottomland trees that are sort of desirable. They have their kickbacks, but they are pretty good trees to have.
All right, coming up, we're going to have the top eight here in just a moment. But it's time now for another break right here on the Green Country Gardener Program. And we will be back after this two-minute timeout.
Building healthy relationships is often a difficult, lifelong process. But you can find health and hope in just 1 minute. Focus on the Family Minute is sound marriage, parenting, and personal growth advice from today's leading experts, plus encouragement and insight from your favorite authors and Christian personalities. Focus on the Family Minute. It could change your day, your perspective, maybe even your life.
Brought to you by Grace Community Church, weekday mornings at 740 and 1400 K1.
Spend your weekend with the Tulsa Oilers at the BOK Center tonight and tomorrow afternoon. Come cheer on the Oilers as they face off against the Indy Fuel and the Allen American. Puck drops at 7:05 Friday and Saturday night and 4:05 Sunday afternoon. Buy tickets today by phone or text 918-632-7825 or online at TulsaOilers.com. That's Tulsa Oilers hockey at the BOK Center tonight and tomorrow afternoon.
We want you to sound off every single morning for our Maple Street Meat Market poll question of the day. Tune to KRIG 104.9 each and every weekday morning, and you'll hear our Maple Street Meat Market poll question. Give us a ring at 918-336-1400 or visit our K1, KYFM, KRIG, and KPGM Facebook to vote. Vote every day, thanks to Coffeyville's own Maple Street Meat Markets.
Hi, this is Pastor Jinx Barber from Dewey United Methodist Church. Our country's been through a lot in the last few months, but one thing is certain, you are not alone, and God is here. We at Dewey United Methodist Church want to invite you to join us every Sunday to worship with us right here on KRIG 104.9 or on our Facebook page, Dewey United Methodist Church. Together, we can spread a positive message in these trying times.
Listen to Dewey United Methodist Church Sunday at 11 a.m. on KRIG 104.9.
Good morning. It is 6:32. Green Country Gardener Program continues, and our phone line is open at 1-800-749-5936. And we were talking about some of Larry's favorite trees, and we're to number eight, I do believe.
Number eight is the urbanite ash. The urbanite ash is a tree that basically does nothing. No seeds, no litter, nothing. It's a very clean and neat, very compact growing tree. It doesn't get overly large, but it's a pretty good tree if you want a street tree or something. So it's a medium round growth, 30 to 50 feet tall, but doesn't really get that tall here. It is somewhat drought tolerant, but will need a bit of water in a bad drought.
Gotcha.
It's like right now. So no disease problems, no seeds, neat and clean, used in more trafficked areas, by seating areas, for instance. However, borers can be a problem on stressed trees.
Ew.
And these are used a lot on commercial situations. And along with that comes mowing crews with weed eaters, and they tend to cause problems with the tree on that, too.
You can injure the bark.
So, and the emerald ash borer is moving in, is here now, and it attacks ash trees, and it's going to decimate the ash tree population over time. I mean, it'll kind of knock it out until they just move on or die out or whatever. They run out of ashes to eat, so
there you
run out of resources, and you just kind of have to quit. But anyway, they it's a good tree for a situation where you want something really neat and clean, but be prepared to do some maintenance on it, and that is pretty much an annual application of, say, imidacloprid.
Okay, there.
Which is fairly new to stop the borers from coming in, and try to keep the area around it clear of possible damage from mowers and weed eaters and things like that.
Give it some space.
Give it a little bit of space. So you might do a little ring around it or something, and it'll do a lot better. And it's tolerant of a wide variety of soil. So it's a pretty good tree to have. But it doesn't get overly large. So that could have an advantage in some cases, say under some tall power lines or something, if they're really high up there. Just make sure to tell the power company they only get 30 feet tall.
They'll get a little nervous.
They tend to be a little indiscriminate. So,
oh, boy.
Yeah, so they're good for a commercial situation. Number seven, red maples. It accompanies a wide variety of red maples. It's a broadly rounded tree, up to 70, 80 feet tall. It's going to be a really big tree. It's native to lowland areas, and it adapts very well to upland areas. It's a very adaptable tree. Mm-hmm. And it has moderate drought tolerance. I have two red maples in my house, and I don't have a sprinkler system, which you can probably guess why my house is sitting on top of a parking lot. you can't dig a hole in there without
it breaks a few shovels, too.
And so I water them specifically in the winter when they're showing a little bit of stress. Mm-hmm. So they are moderate drought tolerant. Borers can be a problem. I noticed that on some of my maple trees this year, and I was up in them this last weekend mm-hmm. and noticed, mm-hmm. and perhaps some borer infestations. Other than that, sixth is Schumard oak. It's a broadly rounded tree, 80 feet tall. It's native to lowland areas, adapts very well to upland areas. It has moderate drought tolerance. And borers, of course, can be a problem on stress trees. Hypoxylon cancer on really old stress trees. Good ice tolerance, nice glossy leaves. The Schumard oak is a really good large oak tree to have. Mm-hmm. We planted a lot of these, and they've all done very well. You can actually see them in around the Pathfinder native areas mm-hmm. growing too. The great big classic oak. And because it is indigenous to the area, I like to plant it because it does very well. It has a few little drawbacks, but it's not that bad. It's deeply rooted too also. You're not going to have surface roots under a Schumard oak because of its deep root system. And the only drawback might be the borers and the hypoxylon on the older trees. Mm-hmm. It's a canker that gets in there. And it can spread from one tree to another. So and it's characterized by the bark peeling off and having this corky layer underneath the bark. And and it can spread from one tree to another. So if you get that on your tree, it starts to stress out, you might want to get rid of it.
You go.
And if you have a hypoxylon infested tree, you just want to get rid of the firewood too. So anyway, white oak is another one I really like. It's a very stately oak, up to 100 feet tall. It's kind of slow to moderate growth, drought tolerant, disease-free. But it might get a little stem disease with advanced age. It has very few insect problems, good ice tolerance, deeply rooted. You can plant a tulip bulb right next to it because it has such a deep root system. But anyway, the white oak is resistant to oak wilt, which is a disease that the pin oaks and some other oaks like that can mm-hmm. get is oak wilt. But the white oak, typically, unless it's a very extreme situation, they're resistant to that. Now, there are two groups of oak trees. Oak trees are divided into two basic groups, mm-hmm. the white oak group and the red oak group. The white oak group is characterized by a rounded leaf with no spine on the tip. Mm-hmm. And the red oak group, which incorporates Schumard oak, pin oaks, and northern red oaks, things like mm-hmm. that, they have a tiny little spine on the leaf, a tiny little spine, and the leaves tend to be more pointed.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of tells you that. So anyway, the white oak is a large stately oak, disease-free and so on. It's a good tree to have,
mm-hmm.
But be prepared to have one that grows a little bit slow, which can be a good thing because typically when they grow slower, the wood is more tempered
mm-hmm.
and it holds up better in storms and ice and wind and whatnot. So, but it is slow. Okay, the northern red oak is another one of my favorites, number four. 100 feet tall, drought tolerant, no pest problems, good ice tolerance, glossy leaves. Deeply rooted. borers can be a problem on stress trees, but mm-hmm. other than that, it's a really good tree. There are some fine examples of northern red oak here in town that even in the droughty times, in the shallow soil, say in Sooner Park, they have a very good positive appearance.
Mm-hmm.
They're really good trees to have. So, and they grow fairly quickly, so that might be one to consider as a northern red oak. Fall color is a good attribute of the northern red oak also. Number three, the Chinese pistache.
There you go. You got one of those in your house.
I do. It's sprouted up in the backyard. So, but one of the neighbor's trees up the yard, they kind of, you know.
Water
over. Yeah. Some of the the offspring was in my backyard. So I dug it up, put it in the front yard. It's been an absolutely stellar tree. So the Chinese pistache is a medium-sized tree, up to 30 feet tall. It's a moderate to fast grower, drought-tolerant, disease-free, very few insect problems, good ice tolerance. And this is primarily due to the branching structure. It has a compound leaf. So the branching structure is somewhat clubby. A compound leaf means it has a main trunk down the middle with little leaflets on it. Mm-hmm. So because of that, it has less of a exposure in the winter. The Kentucky coffee tree is another example of that one. Without the leaves on it, it looks like half the stuff is missing. Because it is what we call bipinnately compound. Gotcha. In that it has a main branch and then more branches. Compounds. It's twice compound, if you will. But the Chinese pistache is a single compound tree. Good ice tolerance, easy to grow, very desirable, sturdy tree. It does not tolerate poor drainage whatsoever. Mm. It will die on you if you plant it in an area that stays wet. So I've got mine planted in the worst of conditions with absolute rock, and it's doing wonderfully. Mm. Even without a sprinkler system, it does very well. In fact, I never watered it hardly when it was young, and it protested loudly about not being watered. And I said, okay, if you want water, dig. And it did, and I just don't do anything to it. However, I did notice there's a few holes in it, so there might be some borers on it. And actually, I've noticed that on a few of the Chinese pistache around town, some borer invasions on them. So that's something we need to be aware of. Mm-hmm. And borers are typically characterized by unpatterned holes in the tree, little tiny holes that are unpatterned. Mm-hmm. I say unpatterned because sapsuckers and woodpeckers tend to poke holes in the trees in a patterned condition.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. Yeah.
In other words, they're lateral because they grip with their little feet onto the tree. And they looking for dinner.
Yeah, sure, exactly.
looking for dinner, and they jump, they hop, and they go from one area to another, and they do it in a horizontal pattern. Mm-hmm. So, but you don't find that on borers. So be very careful and look closely at your trees. A good time of year to inspect them too, when not much else is going on, and do something about that. So they're going to get a dose of that imidacloprid this spring. Pistachios. So anyway, number two is a Chinese elm. And it's a medium size, 20 to 30 feet tall, moderate to fast grower, very drought tolerant, very disease free, none if any insect problems, moderate ice tolerance, interesting bark, easy to grow, desirable, sturdy tree. They don't trash very much. They have a few seeds on them late spring. But the Chinese elm is a good one to have. It's a very popular street tree anymore. We planted a lot of them downtown, and they've done very well. If they can live in that sub-base that they put roads on, it'll do well in
your
yard.
It'll do great
in your yard. There are some really good examples of some Chinese elms around the Frank Phillips homes. There's some in that little grassy area between the road and the sidewalk. There's some there. And there's some in at the entrance to Woodland Park. Off of No Water Road there on Oakdale, there's some good ones over there. Just as you come in on the west side of the road there, there's some real good ones there we planted years ago, and they've made a really good row of little trees there. So anyway, the Chinese elm is a really good one too.
All right. When we come back, we'll have the number one tree. We're counting him down, coast to coast, right here on the Green Country Gardener Program. And we'll be back after this two-minute timeout.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is home to Bartlesville's largest selection of tropical plants for your home. Green Thumb has newly arrived musical-tuned wind chimes for your front porch or just to hang in the tree. While you're at Green Thumb, be sure to check out their 5 to 7 gallon trees, now 30% off. Bromeliads are 20% off, and 4.5 inch small fiddle leaves are 30% off. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on No Water Road, home of Bartlesville's largest selection of houseplants, tropicals, and more. New winter hours are 10 to 4 Friday and Saturday, or by appointment.
Painters True Value in Dewey has a sale going on that you just can't pass up. Through January 24th, 2021, you can get great bargains like Sterilite 18-gallon storage totes in blue, Hazelwood, or Lilac for just $5.49 each. Save $40 on a 30,000 BTU tank top propane heater, just $49.99. And be sure to pick up 12-ounce size Great Stuff Gap and Cracks sealant or Big Gap foam sealant, two cans for $7. Your choice. Shop the New Year sale at Painters True Value in Dewey and save.
Everyone is talking about healthcare these days. America spends twice that of other developed countries on our healthcare system, yet our health ranks near the bottom. Primary care can help fix the problem. To learn more about the benefits of primary care, visit www.healthisprimary.org. This message is brought to you by America's Family Physicians.
Food is the subject on the Dining Guides between 11 and noon Monday through Friday on sister stations 100.1 KYFM and 104.9 FM KRIG. Learn about Wheezy's Cafe, El Rey del Burrito Express, Price's Old Fashioned Meat Market, Szechuan Chinese Restaurant, Avila's Mexican Buffet, and KFC, all in Bartlesville, CV's in Dewey, and Copan Restaurant and Truck Stop. The Dining Guides on 100.1 KYFM and 104.9 KRIG.
Ah, yes, and they call him Larry. It is Green Country Gardener program right here on your favorite radio station. And our phone line is 1-800-749-5936. Larry Glass, our expert. I'm Tom Davis. I'm just the moron pushing the buttons. We got down to the number one tree.
The number one tree is one that's genetically, it's been unchanged since the Cretaceous period.
Wow, that's a long time.
It's a long time. It survived the Brontosaurus. I imagine that many a meal, mm-hmm. many a breakfast for a Brontosaurus sometime at some point in time. But anyway, this one has survived all this time. It's the ginkgo. Ginkgo tree. Ginkgo biloba.
Yeah.
And there's several varieties of them, too. They've actually been able to breed this one. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it's a medium-sized tree, 30 to 50 feet tall. It's a moderate to slow grower. It is drought tolerant. It's a deeply rooted. No insects. It has no insect. No knowledge. Nobody mm-hmm. has any knowledge of any insect problems. You never see any bugs on them. Mm-hmm. They don't like it. You never see any diseases on it. Maybe an extremely old tree. A member mm-hmm. of University of Georgia campus. We had some ginkgos 200 years old.
Wow.
And they were still just as robust and healthy as ever. So they're huge. Golly, you mm-hmm. didn't even realize what they were until you looked at the leaves on the ground.
Hey, look at that.
But anyway, so they're very disease-free and insect-free. Because of their somewhat clubby branching characteristic, mm-hmm. they're very ice-tolerant. And they're just a good, easy-to-grow, desirable, sturdy tree.
Get the mail.
Yep. So they have deep roots on them. They really don't mm-hmm. cause any structural problems or something. Still, though, you want to use the 15-foot rule. Mm-hmm. I've seen a few of them here in town, like 5 feet from the house, but it's not a good Ooh. Idea for any tree like that. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so you want to keep them like any other tree, a good distance away from the house. But anyway, the only drawback is they're kind of slow grower, kind mm-hmm. of slow growing. So either get a big one or plan on being around a while.
Yeah, there you go.
But it's been a pretty good seller mm-hmm. Because it is kind of interesting. The leaf on it is different than any other leaf you've seen. Mm-hmm. It's they call it the maidenhair tree because the leaf kind of looks like hair, mm-hmm. maidenhair on whatever.
Yeah.
And another good attribute is in the fall, it turns a nice bright yellow color. The leaves all fall at once.
They do. So usually on November 1st. Flump.
So you don't have to rake the leaves over and over again. You just do it once and that's it.
Day after Halloween was the time it did at my tree.
Some parts of the world are fossils with ginkgo leaves on them, and so they've been around quite some time.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's kind of my list of some of my 10 favorite trees.
Very good.
And so...
And many of these, if you politely ask at the Green Thumb Nursery, we can get you some.
We do carry a lot of them. The more popular ones, the red oaks, we have a lot of those. Yeah. And the shumards, we have a few of those. And red maples and stuff like that. We even have some ginkgos. Mm-hmm. So, pretty cool trees.
Indeed they are.
So anyway, just getting back to what else we had talked about. Houseplants, what to do now. Winter is a slow time for houseplants, so don't try to encourage very much growth on your houseplants at this point. Unless you have a lot of light, water sparingly and fertilize lightly. I have a Schefflera tree, which we've had for a good number of years. And every year I bring it in the house, it loses half its leaves. They fall, but it survives. I always forget to water it. I'm so busy. I don't have time to water plants. But it survives. It's in the midst of its drought period right now. I looked at it this morning.
Keeps going just to spite you, young.
I know. I looked at it this morning and go, uh-oh.
Oh, no.
I don't think I'll water this in a month. Oh, no.
I think he needs a drink.
I think he needs some water. So I might put it out in the rain tomorrow night.
Yeah, there you go.
But anyway, so watch your watering on your plants. Let them get a little dry between waterings, but not to the point where they start to fall apart, and they should do pretty well. Light fertilization. There's a couple of formula settings for, say, Miracle-Gro or stuff like that. There's a maintenance formula. Then there's an encouragement formula. You want to probably do a little bit of the maintenance formula, very little bit this time of year, for them to do very well. You don't want to use too much fertilizer. It tends to form a precipitate on the pot, and it can cause some issues later on. So fertilize very, very lightly this time of year.
We got a call. Let's take it. Hi, good morning. Welcome. You're on the Green Country Gardener Program.
Yes, I heard you talking about red maples, and I have one, but I have a couple problems with it. I have sapsuckers that just love that tree.
Yeah.
How do you keep them away? Besides shooting them.
Well, you don't want to shoot them. I don't know. It's a difficult one to call because they can come back and do some damage to your tree. Actually, they can girdle a tree if they go too close. Other than maybe behavioral modification or something, I don't know. One way might be to put some burlap on the tree so they don't recognize it, and maybe they'll go on somewhere else. To cover up the holes or something. Maybe run a light at night or something. I don't know. There's several ways. I have to see if I can find something about that, how to get rid of repel sapsuckers.
Okay.
So it's a tough one. Kind of like raccoons and squirrels. They go about from one place to another, and they just don't stay. They're very transient population.
Okay. All right. One other question. I need to trim some limbs on it. Is it getting too late to do that? I know soon the sap will start flowing.
Yeah. It's prime time right now. I did mine last week. And there's no sap running out, and I noticed a bit of moisture, but it's not running. January is a good time. February, you're getting a little late.
We're
going to have good weather today, so get on the ball.
All right, I'll do that.
Always cut close to the trunk. If you cut off part of a branch, don't ever leave a stub. Always cut it
flush
as much as possible.
Yep. Okay.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
All right, we're going to take a break, and we're going to be back with more of the Green Country Gardener Program after this two-minute timeout.
Shortly after Charles Lindbergh's transatlantic flight to Europe, the Dole Pineapple Company sponsored a race from San Francisco to Honolulu in 1927. Lindbergh refused to fly in it, noting he couldn't miss the continent of Europe, but he sure as heck could miss Hawaii. Frank Phillips saw the race as a great opportunity to advertise his new Phillips Aviation Fuel. Frank found his pilot, a Hollywood stunt pilot by the name of Arthur Goebbels, and named his plane the Woolerock in honor of the ranch. Eight planes took off from San Francisco on August 16, 1927, and only two planes finished the race. The flight took over 26 hours, and the winner was the Woolerock. Charles Lindbergh described it as the greatest event in air history. For the next year, that plane barnstormed the country, advertising Phillips fuel, and finally returned to Woolerock. Mr. Phillips instructed his staff to build a stone hangar for the airplane, which they did, and he stored the plane there. As he collected more and more art and artifacts, he stored a lot of it in that hangar until he finally had to enlarge it. Today, you know that airplane hangar is the first room of the museum as you walk out of the dome room. Next time you visit, remember what that room's initial purpose was back in 1928. That same airplane hangs proudly today in the museum at Woolerock, where magic still happens every day. Welcome home to Woola Rock.
Thank you for starting your day with K1 Morning News.
I love listening to your broadcast. I've always listened to you. You guys are awesome.
And I just wanted to say I'm so happy to have found your show.
Today is gonna be a good day.
K1, AM 1400 and 93.3 FM.
A good day!
And online at BartlesvilleRadio.com.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. It is 8:55, and this is the Green Country Gardener Program, and you can dial us in on your telephone free of charge, 1-800-749-5936. Larry Glass, what you got?
Let's talk about impatience.
I'm patient.
No, you're not.
I'm not.
You're impatient.
There you go.
Anyway, impatience are St. Paulia. They're an annual. Mm-hmm. It's a tropical plant, annual plant. We plant it in our gardens to give you a lot of color in the shade. And there are several varieties of impatiens. There's doubles, which people really find really cool. The flowers look like little roses, and they do well in the shade.
Mm-hmm.
And they need a really good loose soil. So do when you buy a flat of impatiens, buy a bag of compost.
Please.
Please, yes. And they're kind of water hungry, too. But golly, if you mulch them real good, the water kind of stays down in there and they'll establish real well. So impatiens are a great one to have. And there's all kinds of varieties of impatiens, too. There's the standard Busy Lizzies, the English call them that. And there's New Guinea impatiens, which are a larger plant. They're more sun tolerant. They're usually big flowers. Seems every year they get bigger. Like 10 years ago, they were about that big. Now they're the size of, coffee cups there.
So for your folks who were watching on a non-colored set, that was about the radius size, of a golf ball to the size of now a big cup.
Yeah, they years ago, they're about the size of maybe a quarter, but now they're getting bigger every year.
So,
but anyway. And there's a leaf color configurations, too, on the New Guinea impatiens. Some variegated leaves also. Okay. And then something relatively new is called the sun patient.
Oh, okay.
And I like to plant those on the west side of the house. And they just bloom all summer long. Excellent color all the time.
Really pop, huh?
Really pop out, yeah. They do need, once again, a very good, loose, friable soil.
Mm-hmm.
The root system on these is kind of wimpy. So it really doesn't like a difficult path to travel in order to absorb nutrients and anchor the plant and all that. You do want to make sure you have your soil very well prepared when you plant impatiens. They like a fairly neutral pH, and they like a lot of fertilizer.
Okay.
So if you really want them to give you a lot of pop in the landscape, be prepared to fertilize real well and be prepared to do some ground prep. Now, next month, we'll talk about ground prep, but it's a good time to think about getting that ground ready for your annuals.
Mm-hmm.
So this is one that you have to be very conscientious, of the type of soil you have and the quality. You should be able to dig a shovel in there and dig a scoop out without having to jump on the shovel.
There, or break it.
Yeah. Yes, I've done my share of that.
Yes.
In my time as a landscaper, I've broken more shovels. But anyway, so the soil should be really good for impatiens. Now, we'll talk briefly on the perennial week. That's bamboo.
Mm-hmm.
Bamboo can be used for erosion control. You use for privacy. Make sure you give it lots of room to grow.
Because
it does tend to grow out. And perhaps you can put it in an area where it really can't spread, say between some concrete or something where it can't go underneath.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe build a barrier around it to help contain it. It's in essence growing in a big pot. For that, but there are clumping varieties of bamboo that don't spread, just like the monkey grass.
Mm-hmm.
You remember the old monkey grass that used to take over the whole yard?
Oh, yes.
Well, there's a variety called Big Blue, which clumps. Mm-hmm. And there's a Silvery Sunproof, which clumps also.
Gotcha.
So it stays in bounds very well, makes a good border and so on. The same thing kind of holds true with the bamboo. It's not all bad stuff. So I've used some in the shade on some landscapes, too. And
I bet it looks pretty darn sharp.
Yeah, it does. It's a good textural relief for a lot of things. If you have some broadleaf plants or something, it's good. Gives you some textural interest in the landscape, if you will. I want to emphasize, use the clumping variety.
Yeah.
You come home one day, where's the front door? You know.
Under the bamboo.
Anyway, come by the nursery, see what we have. We have a great selection of wind chimes. We have all kinds of new stuff coming in. All kinds of waterfalls, too, if you want a water feature.
Nice.
Make you a little bit of sound on the patio or something. We've got a whole bunch of self-contained water features that are really easy to manage and so on. And a great selection of shade trees at this point in time. The shrubs will be coming in soon. And you need we ought to have all kinds of compost and stuff also. So time to get the shovel sharp. It spring's on its way.
All right, Larry, take care. Have a great weekend.
Are you getting married? Get the gift of life insurance. Call Phoenix Insurance, 918-336-5460. This is KWON Bartlesville, K22.